We're going to start the sermon now. What? We haven't had worship yet. Well, that's okay. We're going to work that in. Today we're going to be finishing the series that we've been doing this month entitled, It's Not About Me. We've talked about that it's not about me in our conversation as Pastor Brian spoke earlier this month. Last Sunday morning, I spoke about it's not about me in my identity, that my identity is not based on me. And then last Sunday night, I talked about it's not about me in my appearances. And I know a lot of people were ready for me to preach a clothesline sermon last Sunday night, and I got up and said it's not about us in the way, it's not about outward appearance in the way we look. And I quoted Jesus' scripture where he says, you Pharisees, you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You look all pretty and nice on the outside, but inside you're full of death. Oh, Pastor, that wasn't nice. Wasn't nice, but it was true. Amen? And all through this series, we've been talking about it's not about us. Nothing in our life is about us. And I wanted to end this series with a sermon entitled, It's Not About Me in My Worship. Can I tell you that your worship has nothing to do with you? We're not here to worship ourselves. I'm about to bust your bubble. I'm going to bust it throughout this sermon. But worship is not here for you to enjoy. Oh, that's the biggest reason people leave churches nowadays. Just don't like the worship there. They sang their songs too old. They sang their songs too new. They sang their songs too fast. They sang their songs too slow. They rap their songs. Well, let me tell you something. Worship ain't here for you to enjoy. Worship is here to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you understand that worship is about bringing in the presence of God into the presence of man? It is a bridge where we invite God to come and be with us. God does not belong with us. We are not worthy of his presence. But through praising him, through worshiping him, Christ comes in and begins to dwell with us and begins to set with us. I want to use as my text today, fairly long passage of scripture, John chapter number 4, verse 3 through 30. Now, some of you are already thinking in your head going, I thought he said worship. That's not a worship passage. Some of you thought I was going to go to Psalms 150. Some of you thought I was going to go to some of the other places, but I'm going to John chapter 4, and I'm going to read a story that's very familiar to most of us in the church. Open your Bibles with me. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of the word. John chapter 4, verse 30, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, he left Judah, he being capitalized, meaning Jesus, and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I might not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Come, could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. I want us to go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, we ask you to fulfill your promise. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into our hearts, Lord Jesus. Give us that everlasting water that refreshes our spirit every day. Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. I ask that your anointing would be on this entire service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated all around the building. I want to start off very quickly here because we got a lot to cover today. And throughout this passage, I see a lot of things about worship. You see, worship is about bringing Christ, bringing the Father, bringing the Holy Ghost to dwell and interact with man. We don't deserve that. We have not earned that, but because of worship, God comes anyway. The first thing that I see about worship is about giving. Somebody just got it. Oh, pastor hadn't taken the offering yet. Worship is about giving. I'm going to tell you, we often go through our worship in our normal schedule, and at the end of worship, we sort of break the tide, and we take up an offering. And people think, why would you stop the flow of worship for an offering? Because we need to learn that offerings are our worship. When Jesus met this woman, this Samaritan woman, who he was not supposed to talk to, was not worthy of his time. Look at these first few verses. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now let me tell you a little bit about that. Normally the Jews would travel out of their way to go around Samaria because Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half-Jewish and half-non-Jewish, half-Gentile, and they were considered outcasts. They were considered evil. Nobody wanted to be around them. So they would travel extra miles and days to go around their land. But Jesus said, I need to go through their land. I need to walk through Samaria. In verse 5, it says, so he came to the city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. I get this. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. A woman of Samaria. Samaritans are outcast. A Jew should never talk to a Samaritan. Women are outcast of the Samaritans. And a Jewish man should never, ever, 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 ever talk to a Samaritan woman. It's like a single youth worker should never, ever, 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 ever be alone with a girl. Say amen, Pastor Brian. Amen. You got to be careful. You don't want to have a bad image. Yet Jesus, as he sat by the well, he very clearly says, a Samaritan, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus broke the silence. Did Jesus say, worship me? No. Did Jesus say, walk away, you don't need to be here? No. Jesus said, give me a drink. The first interaction between Jesus and this woman of Samaria, this picture of what worship is interaction between us and Christ. The first picture is a request from Christ to give me something. Give me a drink. For his disciples had went into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? Oh, we in trouble today. I'm just going to, the clock's out, the clock's out. Hope y'all have a roast in the crock pot that won't burn, amen. Let me tell you something. Look what she says. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? How is it that God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills that they're on and the oil under those hills, how is it that he wants me to give him tithe? He doesn't need my money. You're right, he don't need your money. He needs your obedience. How is it that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords asked me to give missions? Can't he just provide it? Yes, he can provide it through your obedience. You see, he wants to give you an opportunity to have an interaction with him. So he asks you to give, even though he doesn't need what you're giving. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. I've come by here this morning to tell you, listen to this, God asks you to give to him so that he can give to you. He asks you to have an interaction with him. He says, if you would understand who it is that asks you to give a tithe, asks you to give a missions offering. Today is the last Sunday of the month. It's the day that we receive our missions offering. We need to provide for other ministries. How many of you are willing to have an interaction with God? God says, if you would understand who it is that asks you to give, you would say, God, as I give, would you give me something? And I will give you everlasting water. I will give you living water. I've got a blessing for you. I've come by to tell you, we give and he gives. When we give, he gives back. I want the ushers to come right now. And I want to give you an opportunity to give to him. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't need this offering. I'm going to go one step further. Souls Harbor doesn't need this offering. I am the best one in the house to say that. My whole provision comes from this church. But can I tell you something? I am God's man. And God will make a way for me. You know why? Because I give. See, I give to him understanding who he is and knowing that as I give to him, he's going to give back to me, pressed down, shaking together and running over. Will men give unto my bosom? I've come by to tell you the first set of worship, it comes when we give to God and God gives back to us. It becomes an interaction. It becomes a connection. It becomes a joint provision. I want you this morning to give out of a heart of worship more than you ever have before. I want you to let God bless you. I want you to give to him, but as you give, I want you to say, God, give back to me. Lord, give me what you have for me. It may not be money. It may be healing. It may be blessing. It may be anointing. God, whatever it is, you give it back because I just want to bring an offering to you. I want to bring an offering to you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would accept this offering, that you would accept this gift. Lord, that we give to you in glory and honor and praise. Lord Jesus, multiply it to meet the needs of this church, to meet the needs of the missions work that we support. But Lord, as we give today, we ask you to give back to us. Give back to our hearts what you have in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Gentlemen, would you receive?
The sun cannot compare to the glory of love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I see. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of the love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. You see, as we begin to worship him, it's through our worship that we seek his worth. You see, we come through this process of giving. And Jesus started here with this giving thing. And if you'll give me a drink, if you knew who I was, you would ask, can I give you living water? Let me tell you about giving. When somebody starts telling you they want to give you something, the next thing you ask is, can you give me something? I've had people come up to me before and offer me a check for $1 million. And they said, this is a faith check. I'll call you when you can cash it. You know what that means? That means they don't have $1 million. If somebody tries to give you something, but they don't have something, they don't have what it takes to back it up, it means nothing. So through our worship, we begin to seek his worth. This woman was no different. In verse 11, it says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Where in the world do you think you're big enough to get this water you talk about when you don't even have a pot to draw with? Woman thought she had him. Then she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drink from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? Oh, let me tell you something. We began to wonder, God, where is your worth? Are you bigger than my history? Are you bigger than my past? Are you bigger than my legacy? Are you bigger than my mama and my daddy and my grandma and my grandpa? Are you bigger than my church? Are you bigger than my religious customs and my religious traditions? How do you think you can mess me up? How do you think you can change me with worship? Who do you think you are? But when we start to worship, it's through our worship, not only do we seek his worth, but through our worship, he begins to show his worth. Through our worship, he shows his worth. Look how he responds to her. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He says, you haven't seen what I've got yet. You don't understand who you're talking to yet. But I'm about to show you what my worth is. I'm about to show you who I am. You see, you think you've got situations. You think you've got problems. But I'm above all of those. You think that you know somebody that's strong and tough. And your father Jacob was important. But I'm above all of him. You think you know kings and princes and queens. But I'm greater than all of them. Because I, in me, carry everything you will ever need. One of these days I'm going to be crucified and buried and laid behind a stone. But when I come out, you're going to be alive. Oh. Just a second, we're going to sing this song. It says above all. But let me tell you, this week as I was working, I was listening to my music on my phone, and I heard a song. It's a remake that they just did. And in the chorus, it says, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified and freed me forever. And he's coming back one glorious day. You see, what Jesus was saying is, I don't know, I heard you say this other, maybe that's where I picked it up. But honey, let me tell you what Jesus was saying. Jesus is saying, sweetheart, I love you right now. But there's going to come a time that I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to save you. And then they're going to bury me, and I'm going to take your sin with me out of your life, and I'm going to carry it with me. And then 3 days later, I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to justify you. I'm going to make it like you've never done anything, because I'm above all your sin, and I'm going to free you from this day forward. And he said, and then one of these days I'm going to come back, and because that we've interacted, because worship has shown you my worth, because you have understood that I'm above all, I'm going to bring you back to be with me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. When we begin to worship, God shows his worth. And when God shows his worth, he speaks into your heart. And he says, I am above all. I am above all. Amen. He's asked us to give, and he's given. We've sought his worth, and he showed his worth. But there's something else that happens with worship. Worship reveals our weakness. When we begin to worship God, we begin to see who we are. What happens, I could have worded this a different way. I could have said, through worship we show our worth. Because we begin to see the areas where we have fallen short. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." She says, I don't want to come back to this well anymore. I don't want to have to anymore. You give me this water so I don't have to get thirsty again. And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, I know that's not in the Bible, but I believe it's what she said. I don't have a husband. And Jesus said to her, "You have well said that you don't have a husband. For you have five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke the truth." Let me tell you something. When you start interacting with Christ, you start seeing your weakness. When you start interacting with the Holy Ghost in worship, when you start coming before the Father in praise, all of a sudden you begin to see your own life, and a light shines on you, and you go, "Ooh, where did that come from? How did that happen?" Oh, I tell everybody all the time, I went to the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida, back in 1999. Boy, that sounds like so long ago. And I went to the revival, and I didn't really want to go, but I went anyway. And they gave me a guest pastor badge because I was a pastor. And they put me in reserved seating because I was a pastor, and they wanted to honor pastors. And Brother Steve Hill gets up to preach, and he preaches the gospel of salvation. And I find myself standing in an altar to accept Christ into my heart, my hand covered over my guest pastor badge so nobody would know that I was a pastor. I tell that story and people say, "You mean you was a pastor and you wasn't saved?" No, that's not what I mean. I mean that when I got into that service and I got into the interaction with the Holy Ghost and I got into the presence of Jesus Christ and I came into the throne room of the Father, the anointing power of the light of all creation began to shine in my life. And it was like I'd gotten dressed in a dark room and nothing matched. And I began to look at myself and I began to see things in ways I had never seen them. Because in the presence of worship, in the presence of God, in the interaction with Christ, we begin to see our weaknesses. When we begin to see our weaknesses, our first response is usually to pull back. We begin to seek to worship our own way. Oh, we live in a day and age where this has become an art. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do because it's all about me. We want it to be about us. Look at this. Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Duh. He just told you what was wrong in your life. "I perceive that you are a prophet." She says in verse 20, and forgive me, I'm changing up the way I'm doing this, so forgive me. In verse 20 it says, "For our fathers worshipped on this mountain." "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place you ought to worship." What she says here is she's saying, we have worshipped a certain way. You see, some of us have a little gray in our beard. Some of us been around for a while. I mentioned a singer's name earlier today, not of Christian generation. And I said that Sister Anna sounded like Bonnie Tyler. And some of y'all, total eclipse of the heart. Some of y'all are old enough to know what I'm talking about. And you don't have to be that holy. You know what I'm talking about. And I said, it's sort of weird having Bonnie Tyler lead worship. And she laughed and goes, "Yeah, sort of." Anna goes, "Who's that?" And I went, see, some of us have a little age to us. Some of us have a little background. Some of us been raised in this our whole life. See, I was born on Friday in church on Sunday. I was in church the first Sunday I was alive. Daddy was a pastor. I grew up with wood pews and very little air conditioning. I grew up in the days of y'all come choirs. You know, we didn't have praise teams and all that stuff. We had a choir loft, and the choir director would get up and say, y'all come up to the choir if you want to sing. And everybody in the church would get up out of their seat, and they'd walk up on the stage and stand on the choir, and we'd turn around, and we'd sing to one or two poor visitors that didn't know what to do. What are they doing? And we'd get up there on that stage, and the choir director of my church would say, what number y'all want to sing? And somebody would say, oh, I want to sing page 120. Mark, lead us in page 120.
Well, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Well, I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Well, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Well, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, and he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me that victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Let's go back to that last verse. Well, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Well, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen, amen, amen. Woo, you can have church when we worship like that. You see, I grew up, and that was the way that it was done. That was the way that it happened. You see, our father said, let's worship this way. But the woman said, you Jews say there's another way to worship on the mountain in Jerusalem. You see, I grew up with those hymns. And I grew up. But then I got exposed to the 1980s. And I found out that there was a little groove in my step. And I liked a little bit of the blues a little bit. And all of a sudden I said, oh, no, 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 no. See, I spent years saying, no, we can't sing victory in Jesus. Oh, now, I didn't ever believe we didn't have victory in Jesus. You see, I understand that Satan has no power against me. I understand that he can never hold me down. As a matter of fact, every once in a while, I just want to look at the devil, and I just want to make fun of him. I want to worship him like this, see? We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. Let's do that again. We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. Get off me, devil. Don't need your trouble. I know you come like a thief in the night, but I got the good news, and I'm here to tell you, no, you're never gonna win this fight. My God is undefeated. Love has won my freedom. You can't hold me down. You'll never steal my joy. No, the grave has been destroyed. You can't hold me down. We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. Let's sing that again. Singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. Get under my feet, your lies are so weak. No, I'm never gonna run and hide. Dressed in the of God my Father, and he's fighting for his child. My God is undefeated. Love has won my freedom. You can't hold me down. You'll never steal my joy. No, the grave has been destroyed. You can't hold me down. We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. Sing it again. We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. Remember what you heard as a child. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Oh, we're singing, oh yeah, na na na, oh yeah, na na na. My God is undefeated. Love is one, my freedom. You can't hold me down. You'll never steal my joy. No, the grave has been destroyed. You can't hold me down. We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. We're singing, oh yeah, na na na, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down. We're singing, oh yeah, na 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 na, oh yeah, na na na, oh yeah, you can't hold me down.
Oh, somebody give him praise in the house. Amen. Now let me tell you something, church. I come from a little bit younger generation now. See, I grew up with the hymns, but then I started getting that little groove thing going. And oh, I go, oh, now that's the way we worship. And I spent years fighting. I don't want your hymns. I want to go na 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 over here. Some of you have heard this story before. I fought that battle in church after church after church. I was pastoring in Van Wert, Ohio. We were doing all contemporary music on split track videos where we had full bands and full guitars. And my church wouldn't worship. And I began to ask God, God, what's it going to take to get this church to worship? Help them to open up their hearts and worship. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me in my prayer. And he said the most rude thing I think he's ever said to me. He says, you mean to tell me your music didn't fix it? What are you talking about, God? He says, you've been fighting for years to worship with something you like. And you never considered what I like. And I said, God, do you not like what I do? He goes, no, I didn't say that. He said, but what you've got to understand is I can be worshipped with a hymn. And I can be worshipped with a rap. And I can be worshipped with a lot of guitar and a loud driving drum. He said, or I can be worshipped with a Gregorian chant if it glorifies my name. You know what he told me? It's not about you. This woman asked him, our fathers say worship here. Your fathers say worship there. Verse 21, Jesus says. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, or nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But look at this. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Jesus said, look, you're going to find out it's not about my style or your style or their style or the other. What we need is we need people that'll come back to the meaning and the heart of worship. We need some people that will quit making worship about a song they like or about a set of chords they find attractive, but instead will come back to worshiping God with a heart after him. The song we're about to sing, a song called The Heart of Worship. The song was written in the midst of something that's amazing. The writer of this song was a worship pastor in a church. And the pastor preaching on worship began to talk about the fact that we had made worship more about music than glorifying God. And the pastor said, we will not sing songs in this church for 6 months. Instead, we'll find other ways to worship and glorify God. Now, if anybody's going to get upset about that, it's going to be the worship leader. Sister Anna's up here going, well. But instead of getting upset, he began to seek God. And through that 6 months, the words of this song came to life. The chorus says, I'll bring you more than a song. See, I'm going to bring you more than victory in Jesus, as great as that song is. I actually was singing that song, painting walls this week. I'm going to bring you more than victory in Jesus. And I'm going to bring you more than get under my feet. And I'm going to bring you more than any other song you can, than the Holy Spirit or Rain Down on Me or whatever the latest, greatest hit is. I'm going to bring you my heart. That's what worship is. When we move beyond what we like and we start giving God what we have, and that is our heart.
When the music fades, all is swept away, and I simply come, I'm longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search for truth therein, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
I got some goose egg eyeballs over here. One of the things that we need to understand is that worship brings a revelation. And to understand how it does that, we need to go to John 4, 25 and 26. Go ahead and hit that for me real quick. Jesus said to her, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus looked at her and said, I who speak am he. Here's the thing is, after all the time she had spent standing there talking to him, having this conversation, he told her all the things in her life. She still had no clue. She was completely clueless. Many times we come in here and we sing a few songs. We'll cry some tears because it touches our heart. And then we'll hear a great message. It touches our heart. We walk away and we're still completely clueless. We have no idea because we don't understand what's been given to us. The woman was moved. She could have walked away, her life impacted. She could have told her friends, this guy told me everything. I'm not going to live like I lived before and then just go on about her business. But she was still clueless because she was standing face to face with the Messiah and had no clue about it. So we sing our songs about him. We talk about him when the whole time we have the availability to talk to him. And we don't quite understand in our human thinking that when you come into a place like this that's brick and mortar and carpet and wood and beautiful paint and sparkly lights and there's music and there's instruments and there's people with talent who can sing and you sing songs about him, you sing about the place that you're going to go one day and you don't understand that he's standing right in front of you. And you have access to him because the truth of the matter is that through the blood-stained cross, through the blood of Jesus shed for you, you have a blood-bought pass that gives you access to his face. And you can stand face to face and you don't have to just sing about him anymore. You can sing directly to him, understanding who he is. You see, if she would have understood that the man who came to break all brokenness was standing in front of her, and the broken heart that she had lived with for so long, because I'm telling you, as a woman, if you've gone out and had so many husbands, I'm telling you, you've got a broken heart. There's something that's broken inside of you. If she would have known that the man who could have healed that brokenness was standing right in front of her, she wouldn't have just tried to dismiss it because she didn't understand what he was saying. Talking to him and had no idea. And then he said, because she tried to dismiss it. Go back to 25 real quick. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. How many times do we come into the church building and we say, one day we're going to see him face to face and I'm going to understand why I didn't get healed? Can I tell you that if you realize that you're standing face to face with him in worship, in complete adoration to him, in complete surrender to him, that he's able to heal you right there and nobody even has to lay a hand on you because you're going to understand who you're standing face to face with. And the problem is that we don't understand who he is. We sing about him, your great name. I have victory in Jesus. We sing victory in Jesus. I have victory. And then we go out and we live like we're tied up and bound up in the same chains that we sang victory in Jesus. What? Why? When he's standing right in front of you. And he says, you can sing victory in Jesus all you want, but if you reach your hands out to me and understand who I am, I'll break the chains that are on you. Worship brings a revelation of who he is. You can't truly worship him in spirit and in truth until you know who you're talking to. Woman, a time is coming and now is when those who worship me will worship in spirit and in truth. And if you want to worship in spirit and in truth, then you have to understand who it is that's telling you now is the time. I'm right here in front of you. I'm right here face to face with you. And if you want to know, if you want to be set free, I'm standing here waiting for you and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. It's time we stop singing about him and look him in the eye and say, I know that through your blood, that the chains that are around my life will fall off. And I know that through your stripes, the cancer that's going through my body will be healed. And I know that through your love, all the brokenness that I felt time and time again, all the pain, all the hurt, all the heartache, all the disappointment can be completely healed. But we have to understand who it is we're looking at. And we're not going to understand that if we keep trying to dismiss everything he's trying to show you because you're trying to wrap it up in here. It's not about what you know. It's about who he is. It's about who he is. She had a revelation in that moment. When he looked her in the face, he said, I am he. He wants to look you in the face this morning and say, you need healing? I am He. You're broken. I am He. Your marriage is in shambles. I am He. Your children are living like hell. I am He. And when you understand the I am He, then you won't just stand there and sing songs anymore. You're not just going to play an instrument anymore. You're going to fall on your face in complete adoration because He has the ability to change everything. The revelation of who He is births worship. Worship births revelation. Revelation births worship. Worship births revelation. And it just keeps going deeper. It just keeps going deeper. The more I look at You, the more I understand. The more I understand, the more I long. The more I long, the more You give. The more You give, the more I want. The more I want, the more You understand. The more You understand, the more, the more, the more, the more, the more. And every single time You find yourself on your face before a living God who loves you and adores you, and the revelation hits your heart, you can't help but want more of what He has. The angels. Revelation says they go around the throne and they cry, holy. They don't sing. I don't think that they can. I think that every time they pass by Him, they can't help it. They can't. Oh, You're holy. Because they see another facet of who He is. Can I tell you, they've been doing that before the beginning of time. Before God spoke, let there be light, and time began, the angels have been surrounding His throne, crying, holy, holy, holy. And every time they go around the throne, they see another facet of Him, and they cry out from the depths of their being, holy, holy. You will never fully understand, and the more you look at Him, the more He's going to reveal, and the more He reveals, the more you're going to want. It's never ending. Worship breeds revelation. Revelation births your worship. It births your worship. When you understand who you're looking at, when you've been set free or you know He has the ability, you're not going to worry about what the type of music is anymore. You're not going to worry about whether it's loud or soft. You're not going to care if you're singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Oh, Jesus, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder everything about who You are. And it's going to flow out of you. And you're not going to worry about what your neighbors are doing. You're not going to worry about the people who may or may not show up. You don't care if anybody walks in the building with you. It's going to flow out of you, and you will not be able to contain it when you understand who you're talking to. The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You, the more I love You. I wanna sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You, feel Your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I'm melting Your peace, it's overwhelming. You overwhelm me. The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You. The more I love You, I wanna sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can say. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. You overwhelm me, Jesus. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace.
So will me.
See, the love of God is overwhelming. It causes us. It's caused some this morning to come into the altar. They're not seeking anything but to be in His presence. It draws us in. And when we begin to worship God, when we begin to have interaction with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it will always lead to the same thing.
Yeah.
It will always lead us to evangelism when we have a service, when worship takes over. We used to, I like that phrase better, have a service when worship takes over. We used to say we had a good church today, the preacher didn't preach. I like it better to say worship takes over because I'm the preacher. But when we leave, we tell everybody, ooh, church was good. Why? Because we worshiped. We got into a place of communion with God. When this woman got into a place with communion with God, Jesus' disciples come back and they were amazed that He had talked to her. I want you to look at verse 28. It says, then the woman then left her water pot. Now, first thing I got to talk about is once you find Christ, once she got a hold of Jesus, she got what He told her He'd give her. Everlasting water. Because she said, I don't need this water pot anymore. I don't need to carry my own methods anymore because now I've got Christ. And she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. I've got news for you, church. When you begin to get into communion with God, when you begin to, as Pastor Anna just said, when you begin to get the revelation that we don't sing about Him, but rather we can sing to Him, then all of a sudden it gets shut up in your bones like fire. And everywhere you go, come see a man who can change your life. Let me show you somebody that can heal the sick, that can raise the dead, that can take a broken life and make it right, that can take my life what was destroyed and worthless and nobody cared, and somebody to love me. I've come by this house today to tell you it's not about you in your worship. It's about Him. And when we understand that we have a communion one-on-one and we are singing to God, we have given and been given to. We have sought His worth and He has showed His worth. We have figured out that worship's not about what I like or what you like, but rather it's about what He likes. When we begin to understand that He has revealed His holiness into our hearts, then we can walk out the doors full full of the anointing of God, and we can tell others where the answer is. Evangelism follows worship. Worship is the communion of God and man. And when God walks in the room, everything else changes. When God walks in the room, everything else changes.
When you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, there's nothing like it. When you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, there's nothing like it. Cause when you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. When you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, there's nothing like it. When you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, when you walk in the room, nothing like it. For when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. Cause there is resurrection life in all you know. We love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. And we want you, and we can't get enough. Oh, this is for you, Jesus. Oh, it's for you, Jesus. So come and consume, God. Oh, we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. So come and consume, God. Oh, we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Make that your cry this morning. Oh, come and consume, God. Oh, we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
Come on now, church. Is that all you want?
Well, come and
do you want God today? Are you ready to give God permission to flip your life upside down, to turn you inside out? Are you willing to come into that place of worship that when walk out of here, we've given God permission to make everything in our life about proclaiming the message of His salvation. I've come by here to tell you that when He walked in the room this morning, worship began. And when we gravitate and we understand that He is here, now we can see. The second verse of that song says, when you walked into the room, sickness was healed. When you walked in the room, every hopeless situation ceased to exist. When you walked in the room, the dead begin to rise, because there is resurrection life in all you do. I've come by here to tell you today, if you're here and you've got a need, you're here and you've got a need. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's a bad situation. I don't care if you feel like you're dead inside. There is life. there is hope. There is power. There is anointing. There is freedom in an interaction and worship with a living God. I'm going to ask Pastor Anna to sing a second verse again. And as she sings that, if you're here today and you've got a need, I want you to get up. You don't have to come to me. You can go to the altar. You can go wherever. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God, because I believe that in worship there is freedom. I believe in worship there is salvation. I believe in worship there is evangelization. I believe in worship there is life. And that's what this is about, is life. Will you come right now? Will you come right now?
When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We want you, and we can't get enough. Oh, this is for you, Jesus.
Church, seek him out. Seek him out. Worship him. Sing to him. Talk to him. Not about him. Talk to him. Grab a hold of what he's got for you today.
when we learn that worship is not about us. When we learn that worship is about a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords and everlasting God. A Heavenly Father that spoke the world into existence. A Holy Son that gave His life that we might live. And a precious Holy Ghost that teaches and guides and directs. When we begin to understand that worship is about communion with God, everything will change. Everything will change. Pastor, what's your hope for this sermon? My hope for this sermon is that we were able to give you a picture of what worship is. Not so that you sing better. Not so that you sing louder, not so that you stand longer, but so you worship fuller. I'll tell you something. Worship doesn't have anything to do with standing or sitting. Matter of fact, Pastor Andy was sharing with me that worship is indication of laying prostrate before the Lord. Of being flat. Casting crowns, sing a song that says, I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. Well, I'm standing in your presence. Will I stand or will I bow? I have a feeling we'll lay.
Yeah.
Because worship's not about all the things we've made it. A song we sang today, Lord, I'm sorry for the things we've made this. We've made it about, can you outstand somebody? Can you outsing somebody? Can you outplay somebody? Can you show off your talent? That's not what I'm looking for. I want a group of people that walk into a house and say, God, I'm in your presence. I just want to sit here. Drink the cup from your hand. Lay back against you. And feel your heart beat. I want to feel this love. It's more than I can bear. I want to understand that it's overwhelming. Can we sing that again before we close?
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can say. I'm melting your peace. It's overwhelming.
Oh, hallelujah.
The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can say. I'm melting your peace. is overwhelming.
To overwhelm me, Jesus.
I want to sit at your feet, from the cup in your hand,
lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I melt in your peace, so overwhelm me.
Heavenly Father, you overwhelm us. You overwhelm us with your presence. Lord, sometimes we don't even understand why you would take time to spend with us. You overwhelm us with your gifts. You overwhelm us with your power. You overwhelm us with your worth. You overwhelm us with your heart. You overwhelm us with your words. Lord, accept our worship. And show us your presence so that our worship grows deeper. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And we give you the in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. God is alive and well. And he is in the middle of your worship. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much to the praise team and all the musicians and Pastor Anna. Amen.